I think I'll probably switch off this light. Chris, where's the... my name's Claire MacDonald, and I'm the director of ICFAR, the Centre for Fine Art Research. And this is the first of a short spring series of Ideas and Aperitifs, which is a regular salon that meets here with some aperitifs and lots of ideas. And it's really an opportunity for staff across UOAL to show work and have it discussed in an informal atmosphere amongst friends. And it's my pleasure tonight to introduce Tina Keane as part of that. This spring series has a very slight emphasis, if you like, on interdisciplinarity. And one of the reasons why I've been so enthusiastic about inviting Tina, apart from the fact that I constantly cross her in the corridor and never have enough chance to actually speak to her, is because for me, Tina is an artist whose work is characterised, in a sense, by approach as much as by discipline, by inquiring curiosity, by her long-term, three and more decades now, of work. And in fact, tonight she's going to show work from across that spectrum with three pieces in sequence, which I think follow each other chronologically, they follow one another chronologically, but they're not actually, if you like, related. So that's right, isn't it? Although thematic material will emerge.
Yes.
Okay, I know that's probably about all I need to say. So we're going to show, Tina's going to show the pieces, she'll do any further introductions, and then what we'll do afterwards is get ourselves another drink and just actually have a talk with Tina about the work. And then afterwards we'll go off and have a drink and dinner for those who'd like to come with us. So that's how the format of the evening works. And Tina.
Okay. The first piece that I'm going to show you is Unbridled Echoes. Basically what it is, it's about 3 minutes of a sort of installation in the New Forest and a performance piece. But the performance is actually done by the audience. So what actually happens is that your people arrive in the middle of the New Forest and then they follow a path. And what I did to make the piece itself, get back to the beginning of it, I said, was the fact is that it's a laser piece, and so there's the laser in the forest, and there's a neon light, and also there's the pony, because the New Forest is about the pony, and it's very, very important, and it has to be the right pony, and they always recognise where if the pony isn't correct. You know, that it has to be the legs measured and so forth. It's quite precise. So in a way, I think about this idea of the pony. So there's an actual sort of like screen also in the forest of the pony as well. So this is lit up by that. But what actually happened, what I did was with Andrea, was to record local people who live there, the forester, and the very old man who was about 86, who had been part of the forest most of his life. We'll hear him. And the housewife. The housewife is really quite incredible, actually. She's lived there all her life and absolutely hates what she calls the new green welly people arriving.
Do you remind us what year it is, by the way?
What year? This was made in 2000. Year 2000, this piece was made. And so what it is, it's just a little bit of a glimpse, in a way, of the piece itself. And the soundtrack is just a tiny sort of like 3 minute of the three people talking. But the whole thing is that the actual tape itself is about 20 minutes long. And that's the walk from the car park along the path to the forest. So nothing's happening, but they've got their earphones on listening to these people talking and describing the situation of their lives and the forest and so forth. You know, so they're getting into it. And then suddenly what happens is that the tape stops, sound stops, and then the actual sort of like the laser, the forest becomes alive with light and sound. Okay, Chris.
Thank you. But unfortunately, the New Forest pony, the popularity of it has declined. And now we are in the worst depression in pony keeping and general animal keeping in living memory.
They did not look being fenced in.
Where have you got that? Groups on the streets?
There is some activity at different times of the year. And as far as I know, they are good witches.
Supposing they're making grazing that the ponies have lost with all the fences.
Foxes, no, they do a good job as far as we're concerned in clearing up some of the minor problems that we've got.
We're forever the optimists in hope that times will be better, things will improve.
When I left school, I saved up enough money to buy my first pony when I was 15, Black Beauty.
Somebody's out for a walk, or afternoon, or morning in the forest, and they see something which they think is wrong. They get home and have tea and sit down and put the feet up, and then, oh, I'd better ring the eggs. By which time it's black. And locations, that is something which people are, they don't really look around and see where they are. I mean, I've had, you would not believe it, I've had calls to problems, and it's by a tree.
He used to stay along roadsides, perhaps counting his wares.
I mean, there was another woman down at the bottom of the chapel who used to